So I'm a pastor's kid. Both of my parents were pastors serving in a church now. So I've grown up in the church. I've always been familiar with it. And I'm so appreciative for that. I couldn't be more thankful to be a part of the church for my whole life. But it came to an age where I had to make a decision for myself. At a very young age, I did so. And through high school, all up through my childhood, there's been ups and downs, but in the end, the Lord is good, and I'm here before you today, thankfully being his servant and his vessel this morning. So I want to share my call specifically to Tyndale, the struggle I had with acceptance, and my turn to say yes to what the Lord asked. In my earlier years of high school, I felt the call to pursue and study so I could be in full-time ministry. And at first, I was eager, and I could never be more thrilled to do this. However, it didn't go as smoothly as I may have liked it to be. I have a big passion for music, and that started to overshadow my desire to follow the will of God. Quickly, I'd planned that at this point, I'll go to university in Newfoundland. I'll go study music, hopefully after become a music teacher. Everything seemed great. I was thrilled about this, but I was never at ease with this decision. After numerous signs and prompts from the Spirit, I knew that something wasn't right, and I attended a denominational camp one summer. The speaker at this camp felt that he needed to give a word of affirmation or confirmation for some students there. And of course, as he said, someone here has a call to pastoral ministry, but they're fearing from it. My heart beat out of my chest, and I'll never forget that feeling. And I knew at that point I had to accept it and come and study at Tyndale and ultimately do this work. So rather than run, I knew I couldn't escape, so I had to say yes to what the Lord asked me to do. So as we walk through everyday life, are we prepared to say yes to the commands of the Lord through the Spirit? So let's pray before we dig in. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all here this morning on this beautiful day that you created. We're here, we can worship to you, Lord, and honor and glorify your name in all we do. I pray now as I deliver your word that I deliver the words you want to speak through me, God, that I'm just your vessel and that none of this is my words. I pray it's received well and that it speaks life to someone here this morning and it encourages and it empowers us and we feel your Spirit here. In your name, amen. So today we're going to dig into Acts 9. This passage is commonly referred to as the Damascus Road account. So at this point, Saul, who we later know as Paul, he's persecuting Christians. Like Pastor Arthur mentioned last week, people like Philip and other believers, they were still proclaiming the gospel even though they knew what Saul was doing and what power he had. He hated them, and he despised what they stood for. He ushered threats of murders to those who clung to Christ. He sent a letter to the high priest in the synagogue in Damascus, and he requested that upon his arrival, if he found people following Jesus Christ, that he could take them and imprison them. Little did Saul know this was all about to change. He was an educated man in various aspects. He grew up a Jew, but he spoke Greek and he was well-learned, much like a Pharisee of the day. So he would know of a coming Messiah, but he most likely did not believe that this was Jesus Christ, the heavenly ruler we know today. Saul had a hardened heart that God would begin to melt and mold. He came to the Lord after time and became a great leader for his mission. So what took the power to turn a power-hungry persecutor into an apostle of Christ? So let's read. I'm going to start at verse 3 of Acts 9 and go till verse 20. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They had heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see anything. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything in this time. in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him to in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for the man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to regain his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name.' Then Ananias went to the house and he entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may again regain, you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes. He could see again, and he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began preaching in the synagogues that Jesus is indeed the Son of God." I really love this passage, and I really love what's taught here. I like to break it down into three different sections, and I've gathered this from the text, and it really shows Saul's transformation from wicked to a father of many of the early churches. We see in the beginning of this story that Saul's traveling on a road to Damascus. He as well had followers, as we read, and they would also persecute Christians and those who loved Christ. We see here in verse 3 the beginning of Saul turning from his ways. Suddenly he's astounded by this supernatural encounter that's so unexplainable. Saul enters into a conversation with a heavenly being. As the Lord spoke to him, he questioned Saul's judgment in persecuting Christians. As he said, persecuting the followers of Christ is the same as persecuting Christ himself. Just imagine the shock factor that the fellow travelers must have had. Saul's standing here, having a conversation, what he knew was the Holy Spirit, and they can't see anything. They understand there's a conversation, they could hear what's being said, but they see nothing like he would see. And he was sent to the city. Whether he complied to go to the city in sheer shock factor, or he's genuinely responding to the commands of the Lord, Saul set on his way. So here we see Saul responding to the first yes we see in this story. And he follows what is commanded of him and goes to the city. He was blinded by this light and had to depend on his companions to get him to the city. And he didn't eat or drink in this time. Whether this was possible anxiety and fear from the traumatic event, or him fasting and prayer. Because as he was well learned, he would have known that he could fast and pray and hear from the Lord. Saul's initial encounter to convert comes from this surreal, supernatural experience. But what's interesting about the next portion of this text is that we see this significant leap of faith, but it's not done by Saul necessarily. The Holy Spirit went to a disciple in Damascus, who we know as Ananias. He called upon him to go and find Saul, so that he could heal him, so that Saul could do the work of the Lord. Ananias really seems anxious about this at first. He showed great hesitation, as we see in verse 13 and 14. The Lord, however, had other plans, and he knew all the amazing things in store for Saul. It was so urgent for Ananias that in his vision, the Lord told him that Saul would be expecting. Just imagine what's running through his mind at this point. Would we not think this is a relief? So, question, by a show of hands, who remembers a time before cell phones? When we didn't have everything at our fingertips in a second's notice. When we had to run to a neighbor's house for a cup of sugar, for a cup of flour. Or, for my sake, I used to have to run to my friend's house to see if they wanted to come outside and play ball hockey. Or if they just wanted to hang out. So personally, this used to terrify me. I had to know I was expected at all times, as fear, I guess, of just rejection or that someone was unexpected. So I feel that as the Lord lets Ananias know that Saul's expecting you, he knows you're coming for him, he knows you're going to heal him, that this would be somewhat of a relief. So in an act of obedience, Ananias completed the second yes. He complies to the mission the Lord set him out on. So as we grow the kingdom of God, we have to be trusted by the Father to do his work. So if he can't trust us to agree to do the little things, like meeting with someone or having the courage to go and plant the seed for his mission, how can he trust us with these monumental things for the kingdom? It can be scary. Think of it like Ananias was told to go grab a coffee at Tim Hortons with Saul, speak life, and share Jesus with him. The seed in this case was already planted, as Saul had this experience with the Spirit. Now Ananias had to complete step two and be God's hands and feet extended. All he had to do was follow what the Lord requested of him. Finding Saul, in verse 17 we see he does exactly as the Lord instructs of him. Saul was healed, and he encountered the Lord and the love that comes from Christ through his servant Ananias. He knew that he had a job to proclaim the great name of Jesus. Saul took from Christ's example. He had the authority in the land, as he was very well learned, and he had this permission from the priest, but he had to turn from his past ways of teaching, and he had to look to Jesus' example. So for a class, I've been reading a book by Richard J. Foster called The Celebrations of Discipline. A couple of my classmates back here will understand the book very well. This past week, as I was reading, I came across what he defined as the Jesus' authority and what he taught with. And I think Saul really did learn from this. He says, the spiritual authority of Jesus is not found in position or title, but in the towel. So Jesus realized that he can get up and teach the laws like they have in the past, but ultimately, showing his love and doing his mission takes more and it takes work. Saul felt the Spirit prompting him to change his ways and to work as a vessel for the Lord and minister in ways only he could do. So how does he respond? Saul responds with a third and simple yes. The good news is that right then and there, he was baptized. He realized his commission to take up his cross daily and follow Christ. Once regaining strength and regaining his sight, he began to proclaim the gospel right away, as we see in verse 20. That's quite the turnaround in the last 3 days of events that took place in his life. So how does this relate to us? As we go through our daily routines and our daily activities, whether that be work or school for students, or in all we do, in activities, everything, how can we respond to the call of the Lord and what he asks us to do? Are we prepared to say yes to what the Lord asks of us? It doesn't have to be anything crazy like Saul's experience, but we have to be ready to respond to what the Lord asks at all times. So as Christ followers, what are we called to do? So I like to look at it in two ways. We're called to honor and glorify God in all we do, in all walks of life. As well, we are to go and make disciples and preach the name of Jesus and show his love to people around us. As a friend of my father came to our church a couple years ago in Labrador City, he used the expression that Saul's world was shattered by the Damascus Road experience. He had a life-altering event that took place in order for him to respond to the Spirit. Some of us may need this. Looking back on my own life, thank the Lord for patience, because he definitely needed it with me. And I probably could have used a couple of these experiences myself. But thankfully, I heard what the Lord spoke to me, and I was able to agree to what he wanted to do. So what do we do now? So as we are at work with coworkers, if the Lord speaks to us and says, maybe it's a great idea to share my word and my love to this person, please share. Please don't be hesitant. Because in this case, we might be the only form of Jesus someone might see in this world. Things as little as thinking it's a great idea to pay for someone's coffee behind us in the line at Tim Hortons. That could be the joy someone needed in the day. And our actions do speak just as loud as our words do. When those closest come to us with a need, Please listen to what the Spirit prompts. Pray, be attentive, and do whatever you can to help and encourage these people in Christ. I've had an experience similar to this happen to me. So when I went into my grade 11 year of high school, a lot of my great friends from the church, people I was closest with, actually came up here to Tyndale. So I felt like I had nobody home in my town. It was a rough time for me personally. But I met some people that used to attend my church, and we went through Sunday school together, so I had an idea of who they were, but we weren't exactly what you'd call close. But as time went on, we got really close, and one of my friends in particular at this time began to share with me his experience in a relationship, and it was unhealthy, and he really had to make some life decisions here. And I knew that he understood the power of prayer, and I knew he understood what it meant, which was great, so I got to share with him. In the car, I tried to speak the love of Jesus to him and tell him that there's a plan and there's more to life than what he's putting up with now. He has a purpose, and I got to pray with him. And I thank God for that experience, because I knew as I was sitting chatting with him, I had to offer to pray for him, whether he accepted it or not. I felt the prompt, and I listened. So on a daily basis, we have to say yes to what the Spirit prompts. And being totally transparent, as I mentioned before, it's not always easy. It's often very difficult. Sometimes it seems too large that we can't do it on our own. But the question I ask myself often is, why do I find this so hard? Why is it difficult for me to listen to the voice of God in all things? I think the fact of the matter is that it pushes us out of our comfort zone. We feel like this isn't our common ground or what we're used to, and it scares us. And heaven forbid we jump out of our comfort zone a little bit to do the work of the Lord. Oftentimes, we listen to what God lays on our heart, and we don't necessarily see that we have control over it, because it's his plan and we have to do this. And in our human nature, we love to have a roadmap set in front of us. We can see all the directions, all the turns we need to take. But often, the Lord speaks to us and only reveals portions of this at a time. So as we have this, we don't feel comfortable, but we have to take one step in order to find out our next step. So the question I think we need to ask ourselves is not what if, but what can happen. What happens when we have a conversation and we tell someone about Jesus? What's our end result? I think our end result is that lives can be changed. Jesus becomes real, and he meets people where they are. And our brothers and sisters get to experience Christ in a new way. And I think at the end of the day, what more can we ask for than that? To see the joy of someone else as they encounter Christ. So I had to answer yes to the call to come to Tyndale and the will of God on my life. So before I close in prayer, I want to challenge you guys with one thing. As you go throughout your next week and the month and the year even, are you prepared to answer yes to what the Lord calls us to, no matter what, no matter how uncomfortable it makes us? I think there is great gain from when we listen to the Lord, and I encourage us all to do this as we go about. So I'm just going to close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for bringing me here today to be able to speak to this lovely congregation, God. Thank you for all the opportunities you've given me here at this church, and for that I am truly grateful. I pray that as I spoke what you laid on my heart this morning, that it spoke to someone, and it's speaking, and your work will continue and flourish through this, Lord. I thank you for all you've done for us and all you continue to do for us, Lord. And I pray that you encourage us and you give us the power of your Spirit as we go out to share your name and to proclaim the word that you have given to us, Lord. Ultimately, show your love to the people who need it most. I pray as we go throughout the week, Lord, that you keep us safe and that your hand is with us and that we always rely on your wisdom and your guidance, Lord, to get us through. In Christ's name, amen.